Well, hello everybody. I hope everyone is doing really well. It is good to give you another video. I want to give you a couple notes, a couple reminders, getting ready for this next week. Today is the 28th of May, and so in a couple days, on the 31st, on Sunday, we plan on reopening the church. If you haven't heard already, we're excited to be able to do this, but we want to do this in a responsible way, a way that shows the community that we love them, and that we're not going to put people at risk, unnecessary risk in getting together. And so we have a couple things. I want to just walk over kind of the things that we have done to try to protect people for our services, just so that everyone's aware and we're all on the same page. First off, we are asking, at least for the first few weeks, that masks are required for everyone except for small children. We will have masks available at the door, so if you forget a mask or you don't have a mask, we will have plenty available for you. Everyone is expected to keep, except for your immediate family members, everyone is expected to keep a distance of 6 feet. This obviously means no hugging and no handshakes, none of that. We have put all the rows 6 feet apart, and we're asking everyone to sit four chairs apart from other people. Again, this is to keep social distancing, to protect ourselves as well as others. And so we want to encourage you to do your best. And this is going to make it difficult to utilize all the space that we have. And so we encourage you, when you come in, not to stand around, but to go right in to get your seat, and to make sure that you're four chairs apart and no more and no less, so that we can utilize and get as many people in as we can. Everyone with a fever or who's having any symptoms associated with COVID-19, we expect that you will not attend, that you will, in love, protect other people by self-quarantining. And so we expect that people will do that. Because of the COVID-19 virus, we're not able to do any children's ministry at this time, so there won't be any nursery or junior church. And to help families that have young children, we are going to show grace to you, and we want you here, and we love you, and we understand this may mean some interruptions from crying babies, and that's fine. We understand that. And to help younger families who have maybe antsy kids, we have shortened our services. So our services are going to be between 40 and 45 minutes. And so we want to make you aware of that. There will also be no bulletins, no prayer cards, and no pens available. We encourage you and ask you to bring your own notepads and pens if you want to take notes. If you have prayer requests, you can email us at prayer@faithbaptistupnorth.org, and we will send those prayer requests out to people. We've also shut down the old church building, which includes the library and the offices, the youth room and the nursery. All of these areas are going to be closed. We want to keep people kind of streamlined, so everyone comes into the worship center and then leaves the building, and that else also helps us to be able to know how to clean and what areas to clean during the week. Counseling sessions, meeting with the pastors, and even openness to the library are available by appointment only during the week. And to make an appointment, you just need to call the office or email me or Pastor Michael. You can email me at pastorpaul@faithbaptistupnorth.org, or I believe Michael's email is michael@faithbaptistupnorth.org. So you can do that. There's also going to be no plates passed in the service. Offerings will be collected as you're leaving the worship center. There will be baskets there. And so this also means that we won't be participating with communion for a little while until we just see how things work with our first few weeks together. I expect that there are some people who just aren't comfortable getting together yet, and that's fine. We don't want to pressure you into coming back. If you feel like you're in a demographic, or you have a pre-existing condition or something that makes you more susceptible and you want to be cautious, we encourage you to do that, to stay away. And so we are still going to be filming the sermons for you earlier in the week, so you can watch those on Sunday. And it'll be the same sermon that's going to be presented on Sunday. So we want to make sure that we still minister to you and help you with that. We're also going to change our videos a little bit. So I'm going to continue to do a video on Tuesday and starting next week. And then Pastor Michael's going to do his video on Thursday. So there will just be two videos a week, just so that you know about all of that. Now, for today's devotion, as we prepare to reopen the church, I want to talk a little bit more about love. And we talked about love in our thoughts this last Tuesday. And one of the reasons why I want us to focus in on love as we get ready to reopen church is because in other churches, not only in our state, but in other states, the reopening has caused no small amount of conflict in churches. And one of the major sources of conflict has been over masks. We are asking everyone to wear a mask, and I know that there are lots of different opinions about this. There are very different perspectives on this virus. I mean, and usually it can just come from your circumstances. I mean, if you have lost a close friend or a spouse because of this virus, you have a very specific perspective on it. Or if you were put on a ventilator yourself because of this virus, you would have a very specific perspective on the virus. But if you don't know anybody who has been sick from the virus, and you have had to lose your dream, if you're a small business owner that have had to close your business for forever, not because of anything you've done, but because of closures that have been brought about because of this, of cautions because of the virus, well, in closing your business, your income, your livelihood, your dream, well, of course, you also would have a very specific perspective on this virus, and it would be very different than the other person. And I'm not saying that either of these two opinions or all the other opinions in between are wrong. They're just incomplete. Because of our different views on this virus, there are different views on masks. And the Apostle Paul, I think, helps us to deal with our different opinions about things. In Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul deals with things that he calls disputable matters. And these are things that different Christians can have different opinions over, and no one can be sinning, right? So one of the examples that's used is eating meat sacrificed to idols is one of the examples. And in this, Paul says, you know what? It's not a sin if you eat a meat sacrificed to an idol, because the idol is nothing. They're not an entity. So as long as you praise God for it, it's not sinful to eat it. But if you're convicted in your conscience about it, meaning you don't have the faith and the understanding enough to do it rightly, then it is sin to you. And so it's situational. It's dependent upon the faith of the person. It's not kind of a categorical always right or always wrong. And so these are disputable matters, things that two people who are both believers, who both love the Lord, who both seek to honor the Lord, can do two different things on, and neither of them be sinning. The old adage that I like to say is, in my mind, it's like Halloween. Some people are very adamant that they don't want to have anything to do with Halloween because of paganism, because of some of the twisted ways in which people have utilized Halloween, and for a variety of reasons. And so they shelter themselves away from it, and they put their family in the basement, they shut off all the lights, and they say, we're not participating with this at all. And if you're convicted about that, I don't think that's wrong. But then there are other people who say, this is the one day of the year that all my neighbors will come knocking at my front door. I want to use this opportunity to be able to witness and show love and grace and kindness and openness to them to spark conversations about the gospel. And so there's very different opinions about this, but neither of them are necessarily wrong. Where the sin comes in, the way Paul talks in this chapter, is the way in which we respond and we force a disputable matter into a determined matter, so that people can't have differences of opinion about these things and be without sin. So that I condemn someone else for doing something that I don't feel like I can do or should do. So the entire point of Paul's argument is that although we each have personal freedoms, our freedoms are always to be placed under our responsibility to love others more than ourselves. Our freedom is not of greater value to a believer than our love. So I want us to look at just one verse in Romans 14, 19. It says this, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." Now Paul begins and he says, "Let us." Now Paul is talking to all believers here, even himself. And this is really important because this means that, if this was true for the apostle Paul, then it has to be true for all of us. None of us get an out. None of us get to say, well, yeah, that's for them, but it's not for me. If it was true for the church that Paul was writing to in Rome and to himself, then it's true of us. So let us, Paul and us, let us make every effort. Now notice, the point here is that we are to be doing all that we can. This means that we are to go to great lengths, that we are to be committed to doing what Paul is calling us to do. So let us make every effort to do with what leads to peace and mutual edification. In other words, with all our might, we are to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Now, peace is kind of a simple idea. We are to do things so that we do not offend people, so that we do not cause others to stumble. We are to treat people of greater value than ourselves. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 make this point. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. When we love each other well, it is easy to put aside our personal freedoms for the sake of protecting or loving another. Which leads to peace over disputable matters. Because we are able to say, you know what, I know I have the freedom to do this, but I'm not going to do this if this is going to cause somebody else to stumble or somebody else to wrestle with or somebody else to feel challenged with. I'm not gonna play around with this. I'd rather lose a freedom than forsake love. But not only are we to do things which lead to peace, which lead to harmony and unity, but also things that lead to mutual edification. Now, mutual edification means that we are to do things that strengthen and encourage others. That there's to be a mutual encouragement. We are to seek to make sure that all that we do is done not for selfish purposes. Meaning, all that we do is not to edify us. It's not to get what I want when I want it. But instead, it's done to edify and encourage others. This is the priority of love. I mean, love considers others before itself. So when it comes to things like wearing a face mask or keeping social distance, it's okay for us all to have our own different and unique opinions. They are not wrong in and of themselves. It's how we talk about them and how we treat others in light of our opinions that can be sinful. So let me encourage you to love well, to show the world that we handle conflict differently than the world does, that we are able to love truly in a productive way. For we, because of Christ, we make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. And in light of that, even though I don't want to wear a mask, even though a mask probably isn't going to help me, it may help a senior that I know and love not to get sick. It may help another who has anxiety about this or who works in a hospital or a variety of other reasons be able to come to worship together. It's me being willing to put actions to my expressions of love. When it comes to disputable matters, we love and we obey the commands of God. So when it comes to these disputable matters, we sacrifice our own freedoms for the sake of love. And we do as Romans 14:22 says, so whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Friends, let me encourage you. If you see someone wrestling with this, wrestling with only doing things that lead to peace and mutual edification, then let me encourage you to pray for that person and to challenge them in love, to say, is what you're saying and what you're doing, is that going to lead to peace in the church and mutual edification of the church? Because if not, then you need to keep your thoughts between yourself and God. You need to take it up with Him. And we need to encourage each other in this. I need encouragement in this. We need to be able to love well and encourage each other together in light of how we have been loved of Christ, in light of the grace that Christ has shown us, that we would be willing to show such grace and such love in kind to one another. So as we gather together to worship, we're not going to criticize people who don't attend because they are vulnerable or they're uncomfortable. We're going to love them and be patient. And for those who want to gather together, but they hate wearing a mask, we are going to keep our mouths shut and we're going to wear a mask because of love. And we're going to do it well. So well that when the world looks at us, when they look inside the church, they see a reality of the gospel that they can't deny. Let us do all that we can to love each other well, to honor Christ well. And as we gather to worship together, let's seek to put others above ourselves, to make sacrifices in the sake of love. For consider how much Christ has sacrificed for us. Let me encourage you. Love well and help others to do it too. For this is our call and this is our joy. I look forward to seeing many of you on Sunday. We'll record the sermon for you and have it for you early Sunday morning. We'll record it ahead of time and be praying all together on Sunday morning. We'll see you later.